Let me pray for us. Dear Father, let my words be few and let your words find soil in our hearts. That your words will remain and bear fruit. And I pray, Father, that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Last week, Hendrik shared about God is always up to something good. I don't know if you were here or remember that. So I'm, in a sense, picking up a little bit on that theme. We may be starting a new series. Not making any promises. But I'm going to be picking up on that because God is always doing something good, but he's given us gifts with which he wants us to work, to partner with him, to do good. So in a sense, this morning I'm laying a bit of a foundation because I feel like we should go on a bit of a journey. I'm going to be talking, I believe, for a while about the spiritual gifts. But before we delve into that, I want to take us on a bit of a, laying a foundation before we start talking about spiritual gifts. How should our approach be with spiritual gifts? Because it's not a firm distinction, but it's a useful one. Is you get the gifts of the Father, the gifts of the Son, and the gifts of the Spirit. So we'll be looking at all of that in the weeks to come. But today I'm actually taking a step before that. So we're going to actually spend time mostly in Exodus this morning. So if you brought your Bibles, you won't be paging a lot. And I'm going to be looking at what I feel, what I believe is a key in our journey with the gifts God has given us, the grace he gives us, that there's a picture in these scriptures in Exodus that talks to us about the right way and the wrong way. So let's jump in on it. I want to first just lay this foundation. As with most things, it starts with a promise. And as with a lot of things, it starts with a promise to Abram. So I'm going to start. Yeah, the title of my sermon is Pouring Our Gold. So it's if you can keep that before you, that's gold being poured. What it will become is what we're going to be talking about. So it starts with this promise to Abram in Genesis 15. Where the Lord says to Abram, "Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. Anybody got that word? Come talk to me afterwards. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions." See, God promises to Abram, he promises a deliverance, but then also with the deliverance comes a gift. With the deliverance comes great possessions. When God calls Moses at the burning bush, I'm going to be just going through this a bit quicker. At the burning bush in Exodus 3, we have this conversation. And God says this to Moses. He says, "So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in it. After that, he will let you go. And I will give you, and I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And when you go, you shall not go empty." You see, God is watching over his word to fulfill it. He's made a promise to Abram that when he delivers, there will be great possession. So he says to Moses, "When you go, you shall not go empty, but each woman shall ask of her neighbor and any woman who lives in her house for silver and gold jewelry and for clothing. You shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians." At the burning bush, God reminds. He's made a promise. This is how it's going to work. I don't just deliver. I also then give gifts. Now, we're going to be talking about the spiritual implication of that. I am not going to be talking about actual gold. You can all breathe a sigh of relief. Greg has not climbed on the prosperity train. Okay, so keep your hearts a little open here. When you go, you shall not go empty. God's talking about both things. And we see this. No, God knows we are quick to settle. So just before the departure, he has this conversation with Moses again. It's just been just reminding Moses. He says in Exodus 11, he says, the Lord said to Moses, Yet one plague more will I bring upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will drive you away completely. And he says to him, speak now in the hearing of the people, that they ask every man of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor for silver and gold and jewelry. See, God wants to make sure Moses gets the message across. When you leave, you need to be intentional here. You need to go and ask your neighbors for these gifts, because this is part of the fulfillment of the promise I made to Abram. So I will deliver you, and you will your people will leave with great possessions. And we see this in the fulfillment. A couple of verses later, in Exodus 12, we read, the people of Israel had also done as Moses told them, for they had asked the Egyptians for silver and gold jewelry and for clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they let them have what they asked. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. There's the fulfillment. As they are delivered, they leave with great possessions, with great gifts of gold and silver and clothing. And the word plunder is actually very interesting here. A victorious army plunders, not a slave nation. But what God has done here in their deliverance, he has been victorious. So he says, they will plunder. They will plunder the Egyptians. And they left with a lot of gold and silver. Jesus, as our Passover lamb, when he delivered us from the power of sin and death, and then he ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. That's what we read in Ephesians. Jesus came and he fulfills this. This is in the Old Testament. He fulfills this. He's the Passover lamb, which was the, in this case, the one more plague God had referred to. And in his sacrifice is our victory. We were the slaves of sin and death, and he gives us the victory. He's the lamb. And then when he leaves, he gives us gifts. It's the same thing. He does the same thing. But you see, we now sit as believers. We now hear. Now we've received gifts from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, and we're going to be looking at those gifts in the weeks to come. But now we sit here, and we now need to know, like the Israelites did. They were faced with, what do I do? What do I do with this gold? It's itching in my pocket. What do I do with this gift? See, yesterday I was at the beach with John Murray. We were digging and making sandcastles. And I actually brought a prop because I saw your RP was coming today. So we were digging sandcastles. And this, it's a little worse for wear, but it still works pretty good. And at a stage, John Murray says, we need to dig with a handle. And I'm like, dude, that's not the design. You see, God gives us gifts. He gives us gifts. And then we go and we sit there and we think, well, this works fine, but how about we try that side? Maybe we should use the gift for this purpose. And then we wonder why things don't go so well. Right? So that's a little bit of our challenge. And that was the challenge for the Israelites. What is it that they did the first thing? Let's read. The first thing they did with the gold. Exodus 32. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, "Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." So Aaron said to them, "Take off the rings of gold that are in the ears of your wives." Where did they get these? Yes. "Take off from your sons and your daughters and bring them to me." So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. Now there's a lot happening here. The first thing, they say, "Make us gods who shall go before us." In other words, they're like, "We've got a place to get to. We have a promised land to go and possess, to go and experience the pleasures of, and to be powerful in. We've got a place to get to. We don't know what's happened to Moses." They can see what's happened to Moses. The fire on the mountain is still burning. Moses has been on the mountain for 40 days. They can see, there's the fire. God is still there. But we're here, and we want to get there. So that's what they do. They say, "Okay, we make a plan, because we don't know how long God and Moses are still going to be busy, but we've got a dwelling for us to go and make. We've got a possession to go and take for us. And we've got pleasure to go and enjoy in that land." And they go to Aaron. And Aaron's response is, he does not give them a choice. He gives them a command. He says, "Take off. Bring to me." No, there's no conversation here. You must do this if you want to get to the promised land. And then he makes the golden calf. You see, they had missed that the purpose of the promised land was also a fulfillment of the covenant that God had made. We read in Exodus 6, God says, "I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God." So they take the eyes off the covenant from which the promise flows. They take the eyes off the covenant, which is about God being with them, among them. And they take their eyes onto their dwelling, their church. "My gifts are only for my church." And we know what happens with this golden calf. See, Moses comes down eventually, and this golden calf, which looks good, I've got a picture there. Yay! So they pour their gold, and this is what they make. But Moses comes down because they're like, "This is what we need to get to what we really want." So whether or not God is coming from the mountain, and Moses comes and he grinds this down and he makes them drink it. It tastes bitter. I don't think it's sweet. Okay, I've scared you enough. There's a better story. You see, we as Christians on this side of eternity, we daily have this same challenge before us. The gifts God gives us, am I going to pull the gold out so that a golden calf is made? Or am I going to do something else? Let's get to the something else, because that's actually the answer, hey? We now have the no. Let's get to the yes. We read in Exodus 35. Moses said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded. Take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution, gold, silver, and bronze, blue and purple and scarlet yarns," it's a whole list, "and fine twined linen, goat's hair, tanned ramskins and goatskin, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and the fragrant incense, and onyx stones, and stones for setting, for the ephod, and for the breastpiece." These are all things needed. These are all things needed to do what? To build the tabernacle. These are the same people who use these gifts to build the golden calf. God says, call for a contribution to the Lord from a generous heart. Let them bring these things so that the tabernacle can be built. The purpose of the tabernacle was for God's dwelling place among them. So the focus here is a dwelling place for God. If you contrast these two, you see in the first account, Aaron says, you must take off and bring to me. Here, so you bring to Aaron the priest. Everything goes through Aaron the priest. Here, God says to Moses, no, tell them to bring a contribution to the Lord. You're doing everything as unto the Lord, not man. And it must come from a generous heart. And that generous heart, speaking of a willing heart, not from compulsion. The gift that you have been given, the grace that is on your life. It's not that you must do something. And we see this, the response to this by the people, the same people who brought their gold, so that they could get a calf, so that they could get to a place where they could build their dwellings. They repent because the golden calf ground down tastes bitter. They repent. And it's the same people who respond to this invitation. And we read, it says, "And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him, and everyone whose spirit moved him, and brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting, and for all its service, and for the holy garments. So they came, both men and women, all who were of a willing heart, brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and armlets and all sorts of gold objects, every man dedicating an offering of gold to the Lord." That was the response of this heart, this willing heart. They bring their offering to the Lord. And we see the result. That's what was made. The Ark of the Covenant. Well, that's at least what Google tells me it looks like. The same people, different response. One response has a heart for their dwelling place. That's idolatry. I will serve whatever it is as long as it gives me the power, the possession, and the pleasure that I'm after. So I will take my gold that I received at my deliverance, the gift given to me, I will take and I will use it in this way to try and secure for me possession, power, pleasure. The same people come and they realize, no, we missed the covenant is what it's about. God called us to be his people and he will be our God. And in the promised land, he will dwell with us. So why would we go there without him? He's still on the mountain. Why should they shouldn't have thought to leave? They could see he was busy. And sometimes we like that. Well, God's busy on the mountain with Moses. I think I'll just get going so long and I'll just start clearing the field in the promised land. And when God comes, it'll be okay. These are the same people. And sometimes we, you know, they may have thought, I don't know how long we need to wait here. Maybe we don't have enough. Maybe we're not going to make it if we wait until Moses eventually comes down. And sometimes we like that and then we feel like we need to make a plan. But God's timing is perfect. Because he's interested in dwelling among us. So he's giving a plan to Moses there so that his dwelling place amongst them will be established. So the covenant of being with them being his people, him being their God, being our God, will be fulfilled. I want to look at, I'm following this golden thread through of the, I started the promise about the golden, I followed it. We've gone, when did they get it? What did they do with it first? And now we realize, okay, this is what they were supposed to do with it. And then it doesn't end there. We read in Exodus 36, it says, they still kept bringing him freewill offerings every morning so that all the craftsmen who were doing every sort of task on the sanctuary came, each from the task that he was doing, and said to Moses, the people bring much more than enough for doing the work that the Lord has commanded us to do. So Moses gave command, and word was proclaimed throughout the camp, let no man or woman do anything more for the contribution for the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. For the material they had was sufficient to do all the work and more. I find it fascinating. When we read in the Gospels, when Jesus feeds the 5,000 and the 4,000, he calls them and they bring the 7 loaves and a couple of fish, and they bring the 5 loaves and a couple of fish. And after the fact, we have this every time recorded, he multiplies it, and then after the fact, they take up baskets. In one case, it's 7 baskets of leftovers. In another case, it's 12 baskets of leftovers. In other words, he doesn't give the 5 bread and the 2 fish back. Okay? He's used that. But it's sufficient to do all the work and more. He multiplies and he gives back. There is left over. Why am I sharing this? I believe that there is a call on every one of us in this church. There are gifts given. Gifts of the Father, gifts of the Son, gifts of the Spirit. For every one of us here that we have received or will still receive. And if our approach is right, if our desire is for the dwelling place of the Lord, and what is the dwelling place to be built up? It is not this church and this church building. The dwelling place of the Lord is the people of the Lord. The grace on your life that God gave you to use, the gifts given to you, is so that the body can be built up. Because that is the temple of the Lord. One another, the temple of the Lord. It is not so that you can build up your own profile, your own power, your own possessions, your own pleasure. Because if every part of the body is functioning with the grace given to them, the body grows. That's what we read in Ephesians. Now, I'm being intentional with the grace given to me. I shared this with someone the other day. I said, it's great. I'm going to continue to be intentional with the grace given to me. What I need, my growth is dependent on you using the grace given to you for the body, for one another. Because otherwise the body doesn't grow. We read in Ephesians 4, and I'm going to close with this. I shared it with the intercessors this morning as well. It's a short message this morning. It's just a little foundation stone. If we don't build right from here, all come tumbling after. Ephesians 4, verse 15 to 16. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And that is the purpose for the gifts. And that's what I need every one of you to be pursuing as well. Because otherwise, have you seen that guy that gyms and he skips leg day? He's got the biceps, but he doesn't have the cater. So that's on my heart. We're part of a body. We're part of a body in this town. There are gifts on your life that are not necessarily for this church right here. It is for the body of Christ. I'm interested in the body of Christ growing. All of us, because then we all grow. Can you stand with me? Maybe your spade looks a little bit worse for wear, like this. Maybe you've been using it wrong, and the taste has been bitter, because you've been drinking the ground calf. Maybe you don't even think you have a spade. I'm going to call a spade a spade. Everyone, has been given gifts by God. At your deliverance, great possessions accompanied. It is a theme from Exodus. And when Jesus ascended on high, He gave gifts to mankind, to all of us. So as we go on this journey the next few weeks, I want you to prepare your heart to identify the grace on your life, to see the purpose of it, and to decline the invitation to build a calf with it. Let's close our eyes. Dear Father, You are good, and You give good gifts. And Your heart is for the body to be built up with Him. And as we embark on this journey, Lord, we reflect on the deliverance we have received because of Your Son, Jesus Christ. That our deliverance is because of no other lamb than our Passover lamb, Jesus Christ. Our acceptance is in nothing but the life He lived and the death You died, Lord Jesus. And as we come humbly, enriched with the gifts You've given us, we repent of our slave mentality of now trying to pursue the promised land with or without Your presence. Lord Jesus, show us the purpose of every gift that You have given every one of us, so that the body, which is Your body, can grow to full maturity. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to come and receive prayer for anything, you're welcome to come to the front. For the rest of us, you're welcome to grab a coffee at the back. And let us take this week and just meditate on this principle. You have received gifts. Let's be eyes wide open to when it's for when we are building a calf and where we should be building the tabernacle. Amen. You can now go. All come.